Good to come into the house of the Lord. We always look forward to coming to the tent every night and ministering to you the words of life. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than the words of life, isn't that right? The words of life. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You know, the average individual really doesn't know what that means. They are spirit and they are life. I marvel as I travel around across the world. I marvel as I talk to different ones and as I'm made to realize how little that they really understand God and how little that they understand concerning the Holy Scriptures and the Word of God. You know, the Bible speaks of the last days, and it speaks of them that have the knowledge of God. Last night I ministered concerning what Paul said, where he said, "I speak this to your shame, that you have not the knowledge of God." But I marvel that some do not have the knowledge of God. And I marvel at those that are Christians, that are supposed to have the knowledge of God, and how little they understand the knowledge of God. How far from the real truth and understanding of the Word that they are. Though they know the Word, as a matter of fact, I've got numbers of friends that can quote the Word in such a way till it's astounding. But I marvel at some of them that though they know the Word of God, so far as the literal printed page, and yet they don't understand the Word of God and they don't understand what it is. I never will forget when I started out in my early ministry. I had heard men quote the Word of God, and of course I was principally interested in being able to read the Word of God and quote the Word of God. And when somebody would ask me a question, go to the Word of God, you know, and say, "This is thus and thus." That was my thoughts about it. I thought that was what I was supposed to do. One day while I was diligently studying the Word of God, I was trying to memorize the Scripture, you know, and trying to get it down into my mind as to what it said, and I heard a voice speak to me. And I heard God say to me, He said, "I am not interested in you knowing the Word of God as to quote the Word of God." He said, "I'm not interested in that as to memorizing my Word." And it really startled me. I thought, well, everybody, you know, that's a preacher, everybody that's going to know anything about the Word, that's what you're supposed to do, because that's what I saw people do. He said, "I'm not interested in that." And I was so shook up, I said, "Well, Lord, what are you interested in? What are you trying to tell me?" God said, "I want somebody to understand my Word." He said, "I never bother in my ministry to quote the Word of God verbatim." I said, "You cannot find in my ministry where I memorized the Word of God and quoted it." And I thought, well, I've never even thought of that. I've never even considered it. So I began to search the Scripture. I began to take the New Testament, and I would go and read the New Testament, and I would notice that Jesus would quote from the Old Bible, and He would quote from the scrolls. And I noticed in almost every place that He quoted, He didn't quote it as that of memory and word for word. He always quoted it different. But there was one thing that I always found in tracing Jesus' footsteps. He always gave the proper meaning of what that word meant when it was expressed by the prophets or whoever. There was one thing that He was careful to do, and that is when He brought forth the Scripture, He brought it forth with that same meaning, that same great understanding that the prophets used when they spoke the Word of God. So He said to me, He said, "Son, I want accuracy of my Word, and I want you to understand my Word, and I want you to be able to instruct the people to where the people can understand my Word." He said, "I don't need anybody to memorize my Word." And you know, I really learned a lesson. It really done something for me because it turned me completely around. I have some friends that's like a walking Bible. They can quote the Scripture just for hours. I mean for hours they can quote the Scripture. And in and real accuracy, in real accuracy. But this turned me completely around, and I began to realize that what God wanted was for me to be able to enter into the treasures of the Word of God. You know, he told Job one time, said, Job, you need to learn some things. And he asked him a question. He said, Job, now you know about the snow. You know about the snow. You know, we see the snowflakes around us. We see the snowflakes falling. He said, Job, have you ever entered into the treasures of the snow? I didn't know there was treasures of the snow. I thought it was just snow and that's all there was to it. But did you know something? When I came into the revelation of the Lord Jesus, did you know that I entered into the treasures of the snow? And did you know that there's great treasures concerning the snow? I never knew that. And as there is great treasures concerning the snow, so there is great treasures concerning many things in this world and many things that God has made. There's great treasures. This is why when Paul the apostle came into the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even that which is in the heavenly places. And he said, brethren, we have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And I discovered some of that treasure that he was talking about. I entered into the treasures of the snow. And I began to enter into the treasures of the Word of God. And I began to fill my treasure and my hope chest full. And I found it was so beautiful. And I said, dear God, this is so different. This is so great. This is so wonderful. And did you know my attention was caught in such a way that my entire life has been spent entering into the treasures of God's lovely Word. And I've never had a dull moment. I've never desired to turn around and go back. I see people that slip and slide. And I know that they don't have a vision. And I know that they've not really seen anything. Because if they ever behold this pearl of great price, they will sell all that they've got. They will forfeit their right to everything that's in this natural world to be able to get those treasures. And so then I know when I see these people slipping to and fro that they've not entered into the treasures of God. And the great treasures of heaven has never been revealed to them. So then I applied my heart to understanding. And God increased my understanding in a great and a mighty way and gave me the hidden treasures. And I heard the Lord speak to me, and the Lord said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. And I said, well, God, what is the hidden manna? And the Lord said, that's the treasures. I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna if he can overcome. I said, well, Lord, what is it that you have to overcome? I don't understand. What do you mean overcome? And God said, son, when you can overcome your flesh, when you can take my mind and my spirit and my life and my desire and my will and my plan and my program and apply it in your heart or to your heart and incorporate my ways in your daily lifestyle, then you can overcome the flesh. And in overcoming the flesh, you will overcome Satan. Because Satan or Lucifer savors the things that be of the flesh. He loves the things that be of the world. And said, when you have mastered this and when you have overcome it, then I will give to you to eat of the hidden manna. I thought that was wonderful because I set my heart to do that. And brothers and sisters, as I begin to overcome, I found that bread that Jesus spoke to the disciples about when he said, I have bread to eat that you know not of. And I found out that I could have the hidden treasures and have the hidden manna. In church tonight, that's what God wants you to do. You know why the church is restless? Now don't get upset when men run out. But you know why the church is upset or in the condition it's in or why God is upset with the church? It's because they're not following Christ. You know why they're discontented? Because they don't know about the hidden treasures. You know why they don't know about the hidden treasures? God help us tonight. Pray for me, ministers. Because when I say this, I'm liable to lose some of my flock. It's hard to believe that, but you can do it. They are discontented because they have never entered into the glories of God, and they've never entered into the treasures of God. And in that they are discontented, they have supplemented in another way. They don't have the satisfying potion. They don't have the things that God wanted the church to have because they not properly applied themselves. And so then they've had to supplement with something. And what did they come up with? I'm just going to have to say it. Sports. Praise God. We've still got our congregation. How do you understand what I'm saying, folks? Not mocking, just trying to be a little cheerful in my expressions. The church has supplemented with sports, and they've gone after the follies and the frolics of the world, and they are going after those things which do not satisfy, which is not the planned and program of God, and they've literally wrecked themselves towards spiritual things. I know a great man of God. I know of him. He was a great man of God. He walked with God. He had the power of God in his life. He had God to heal. I mean genuine healings. Doctors reported that it was genuine healings, even cancer. And the man was a praying man that sought after God. His ministry was desired around the nation. But the man got interested in TV. And he began to watch TV. And he began to like ball games. And he got interested in the sports. And in the ball games. And the man not only lost his anointing, but he lost out with God after years in the ministry. He got so carried away with the ball games that he kept leaving off with prayer and kept losing his spiritual sight until he went spiritually blind and lost his ego for God. And folks, that's pitiful, isn't it? I saw that happen. You know, TV can bring forth some good things. Sad to say there's not very many good things on there. But there is a few evangelists and a few things that's beginning to come forth through TV that's virtuous. You know, the Bible tells us that if anything have any virtue in them, anything be lovely, anything be pure, think on these. There's a few virtuous things you can pick up, but most of it is really bad. It's really destructive. It'll destroy you. But we are supposed to think on virtue. Why should I think on virtue? Because that's my strength. That's my strength. If I faint in the day of adversity, my strength is small. And my strength is virtue. I must have things that are lovely. I must have things that are virtuous. And I must think upon these things to get the virtue and the strength of God in me. That when I have the battles with the evil one, that when I come face to face with Lucifer, that I'll have the strength to overcome those evil powers. If I don't store up that virtue, then I can't do it. It's like the little woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. The thing that healed the little woman was the virtue. Jesus had stored up virtue, and he had that wonderful virtue of God on the inside. And when that woman touched the hem of the garment and turned her face toward God, all of a sudden that virtue came out of that body. And she was healed. That's what's wrong with the church. They don't have much virtue tonight. But listen, it's all because you are not a virtuous woman. Are you listening? If a man's wife becomes a harlot, what does that mean? She loses her virtue. She is not a virtuous woman. The Bible said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. She's a crown to her husband's head. If we're going to be a crown to our husband's head, we're going to have to be virtuous. We're going to have to come out from the world. Be a separate people. Touch not those unclean things. We can't mix darkness with light. We can't go out there in the intellectual darkness of this world and be part of that and then come and be part of the light of the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that we can't eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. This is the table of God. Folks, we can't go eat at the table of the devil and then eat at the table of God. You love the Lord? So I want to talk to you tonight about something.
This meeting, as I said before, has great significance. And that significance principally is the end of the world and the translation of the church, the rapture of the church. And I can tell you from my heart, folks, there is much to be understood about it. There's much to be known about. I know that you go to church with a regularity, and I'm glad. Many of you do. And I know that some of you read your Bible with a regularity. I did all of that. I went to church with a regularity. I read my Bible with a regularity. I fasted and I prayed and I wept before God. But I still didn't have the treasures. I still didn't have the treasures. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a Christian. I was saved. But I had never come into the spirit of revelation. The Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And I made this statement the other night, one spirit but many operations. Pray that you will have the spirit of revelation. I had never received the spirit of revelation. I had never come into the treasures that God had. And though I was confident that I was a minister, and though I traveled across the nation, and I was confident that I loved God because I tried my best to be clean and upright before God, I can truthfully say from the bottom of my soul, since the day of my conversion, since I've really known God, really come to know Him, I have tried to live perfect before God. I mean perfect in every way. Perfect in my deeds. Perfect in my thoughts. Perfect in everything that God has let me know and understand. Now that doesn't mean that I haven't faltered. It doesn't mean that I haven't stumbled. It doesn't mean that I merit anything or that I'm any better than anybody else. My justification is by faith in Christ Jesus and by the righteousness of the Son of God. But my gratitude for God and His salvation, Him saving me. Because of that, I have tried through these years down to this very moment to be perfect before God in every way that I possibly knew or know how to be. But folks, even back years ago when I was trying to do the best I knew how, I still had not entered into the treasures. I had not entered into the treasures. But you know, I can truthfully say from the bottom of my soul tonight, I have entered into the treasures. And my treasure chest is filled up. Paul spoke of his much revelation. I have had hundreds of revelations that has been given to me. That is, there's but one revelation, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But like a puzzle, God has that, as we say, in many pieces. And you get a little, and I get a little, and he gets a little, and they get a little, and we have to put it all together. But I can truthfully say that, as Paul said, I have received abundance of revelation from Jesus Christ, and the beauty of it is that every bit of it perfectly fits the Word of God. If you ever get a revelation and it don't fit the Word of God, you need to get rid of it right then. When you get a revelation that keeps working the Word of God out and keeps twisting the Word of God around or trying to take another avenue of thought, you better get rid of it because it didn't come from God. Every spiritual gift, every spiritual revelation that you get, it'll fit the Word of God perfectly, folks. So then, talking to you, I don't have long to talk with you at night. I come in here, we just have a little while because people, being a sovereignty, they give you so long to speak to them. They give you so much of their life. One man will give you a little longer than another man. One woman will give you a little longer than another woman. And though they may be polite, and though they might work with you to the extent that they won't be indignant, yet they're going to turn you off when they've heard all they want to hear. And they're going to withdraw in their spirit whether they leave or not. And if you keep them, they're just going to be sitting there, that's all. So that means that God, who speaks through us, in that the Bible said it's not the minister speaking, but God. That means that God, who speaks through us, from the time that we're able to correlate, or from the time that we're able to get the minds together, and get your spirit into one spirit, even Christ's spirit, and then get our spirit to where God's spirit can speak through it. By the time we do that, we only have just a few minutes, as we would say, to be able to speak to you. Because in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing, and Satan is in the flesh. And Satan is ever probing, and Satan is ever suggesting things. And Satan is ever pressing your mind, trying to talk you out of the things of God or tell you that you're weary, that you're tired, that you're sick, that you done stayed too long. You don't need to hear it. It isn't right. Pay no attention to it. You can come back later. All these things he's harassing your mind with. And he is continually warring against you. And the Bible said there is a continual warfare between your human person or your body and your inner spirit. There's a continual warfare. It never stops. And all the time there's an argument going on. And if you're not arguing back in the sense of saying in the mind of God, I won't have it, or I'm going to do it God's way, then you're taken into captivity by Satan. For the Bible said the children of this world are taken into captivity by the powers of Lucifer at his desire or at his will. If you are a child of the world and you've never been born again, it doesn't make any difference how much you think that you are a sovereignty. The devil takes your mind whenever he gets ready. And the devil takes you wherever he wants you to go. And everything that you do in life is not for yourself. It is not for God. It is for Lucifer and for the gullible desire of his kingdom and desire. Whether you ride, whether you eat, whether you drink, whether you work, whatever you do, it is for Lucifer's benefit. Remember this. Satan is the prince of this world. And he is the prince of the powers of the air. I wish we had time to detail those things and elaborate on them, to bring them out in Revelation. But we don't. But Satan is the prince of this world. Being the prince of this world, it means that he loves this world. And he loves the things of this world. And he savors the things that be of the flesh. He loves the things of the flesh. He loves to eat. He loves to drink. He loves to ride. He loves to frolic. He loves the things that be of the flesh. He desires the things that be of the flesh. And us being born into the flesh, that means that we without resistance, unless we have God, we just follow the flesh and we follow the desires of the flesh and we follow the ways of the flesh and we follow the benefits of the flesh. We go hard after it. Because we don't have anything in there to tell us any different. I want you to think on this just before I read. Did you know that a person that doesn't have God, they don't have any guidance whatsoever? Do you realize that a person that doesn't have Christ, or that doesn't have the mind of God, they have no protection from the powers of evil? They have no ability to do what needs to be done. Because they have nothing to contest the voice that speaks to them. If a voice speaks to them, if some thought comes to them, which is a voice or a mind, a power, a sovereignty, if some voice speaks to them, they don't have anything to contest it, to weigh it out, to be able to evaluate pro and con. They don't have anything to do that with. Why? Because they are born into this world as a beast. Think on it now. Don't get upset and leave. Think on it. They're born into this world as a beast. And all they do is go to college or go to school. Listen, hold on now. Don't get upset. Let's ponder over it. The Bible said, listen, prove it. If it's good, hold fast. They're born into this world as a beast. They go to college. They go to school. They study. They learn. They develop. But did you know that's all that they are? That's all that they know? They don't know anything outside of that. They don't understand anything outside of that. You say, what does that mean, Brother Pipe? Now listen, not mocking, just being truthful. You can take an animal. You can take a beast, take a dog, whatever. And you can set that dog in the front of you and you can say to him, give me your paw. He won't give you his paw. But if you keep training him, you keep patting him on the leg, after a while he'll give you his paw. Then you keep training him and you can get him to roll over. And you can get him to bark. One time, two times, three times. Why? You're educating him. You're training him. See? But all that that dog knows when you finished is just exactly what you have educated him with. Because he is a dog. Because he is an animal. This is why Jesus so boldly stated that those that are without are dogs and whoremongers, he said. He said, and the dog goes back to his vomit. And said, the sow, after that she has been washed, will go back to her wallowing in the mire. Why did he do that? Why would the God of glory speak so? Why would God insult his people like that? Even the lawyers, they said, you insult us. Said, in seeing the things that you say, said, it's an insult. It's a reproach to us. But folks, I still contend that if God made us, God made all of us through the world. He knows what he made. I contend that when he made the statement, he said, go back up there and tell Herod. Said, tell that fox. I'm continuing to believe that if he said he was a fox, he was a fox because he knowed what he made. Somebody said, but he was a human being. If God said he was a fox, as far as I'm concerned, he's a fox. Because he's the one that made him. He know what he made. So then, it is my conviction that you don't have anything to contest the voice that's speaking to you. Therefore, the devil can take your life whenever he gets ready. He can take you into captivity at his will. He can prepare your heart and you can go out here and have a wreck before you get around the corner because you have nothing to contest it with. But beloved friend, when you get to be a son of God or a daughter of God, and when you get filled with the Spirit of Christ, and when you get the knowledge of God, you've got a mind in there that will contest that flesh. You've got a mind in there that will put up a dispute or an argument with it. You've got something in there that when a voice speaks to you and say, let's go and do thus and thus, that other voice will say, are you sure that's the right thing? There's another voice will say, it will say, have you considered this thing? Do you know that what you're doing is right? And there will be a pro and a con that will give you opportunity to weigh the situation to see if the thing is right. But if you don't have that, you're no more than an animal. All you've got is your schooling and training. You come into the world as a beast and you die as a beast. But oh, beloved friend, to be a son of God, to be a daughter of God, there's a world of difference. I want to read just a little bit of scripture here. I've been staying within the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians so that I could kind of knit things together in that we don't have that much time in Alabama under this meeting, under the tent here. I'm trying to knit a few things together. It's been real difficult. Because, as I say, I have been privileged to go into the great treasures of God and into the deep mysteries of God. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward of it. And I've been privileged to go into those great, marvelous things. And because of that, my soul is excited. And when I come here to preach in an entire revival or wherever I'm at, I can barely touch on a few things during the entirety of that revival. So then I've chosen to stay in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that I might read a little bit and kind of tie some things together to where we can have a few stepping stones toward these heavenly treasures that I keep referring to. I'd like to say, first of all, I appreciate my brethren being up here with me tonight. I see some brethren here that I didn't know was going to be here tonight. I've word that some other brethren's coming from different places, and I appreciate them being here, and I've got other brotherly ministers out there that I'd rather they'd been on the platform. I'd like to have had them up here tonight. Tonight, I just felt like I'm being up here with me. And sometimes we do that, and I get them to help me pray for the sick. And we have some great results. In the Macon meeting, we had the ministers there on about the last night or two of the revival. And God gave us such a super anointing until it was just almost unbelievable. But anyway, I love to have them up here. So I welcome them here. I thank God for them. Some of these men are Mexico missionaries. Some of them are local evangelists. And some of them are abroad. They're men of renown. They go all over the nation, into the islands and different places. So then it's a real privilege to have them here. And the Bible said, giving honor unto all of you, I give honor unto you. I'm thankful to have you here. But giving double honor to them that labor in the Lord, I'd like to have them up here to be recognized and to be with us in our labor in the Lord. If you'd like to come, we'd certainly love to have you. I want to read just a little bit, if you've got your Bibles. I want to read from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Be patient with me tonight. Listen. And let me speak to you. Every night that I've spoke to you, you've been very patient. You've listened wonderfully. And the way that you've been listening, it is my positive conviction that the way that you've been receiving the gospel and the way that you've been listening, that when I leave this valley, that I can leave this valley with a blessing of God upon it. I'm positive of that in the way that you have received me here and the way that you have received the gospel. Your attitude toward the gospel has been wonderful, especially in the fact to this acknowledgement that I haven't been in the valley in a long, long time, and I'm a stranger to many of you. Maybe not by radio, maybe not by television, maybe not by the printed page, but I'm a stranger to many of you. And yet you come and you listen patiently. So then, you that have been in our ministry or in our meetings, I appreciate you coming and being with us and giving us this added strength and being concerned, especially the ministers. And you that have not been in our ministry before, I appreciate you being here tonight, and you've certainly been wonderful in every meeting. I've hardly had anybody to get up and go out and be rude, other than when they're pressed for necessity or with a necessity to go to the restrooms or whatever, or some of them may have to leave a little bit earlier. But they've been very reverent and very polite, and they've listened to the Word of God. Well, that will bring health to your body. That will bring blessings to your home and financial blessings and prosperity to you, and bring the protection of God during the time of tornadoes and storms and floods and whatever, or wrecks on the highway or whatever it might be. It will bring the blessings of God to you. The Bible said concerning the man of God, whosoever he blesses, they will be blessed, and whosoever he curses will be cursed. And whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. So, knowing this, the Bible said, seeing that these are the ministers of God, and they are sent there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, that they are the judges of the earth, then will you not be afraid for conscience' sake, that they may leave a blessing upon you? But how can a man of God bless something that is not to be blessed? How can he curse something that's not to be cursed? If he is a true man of God, how can he leave a blessing upon something that's contrary and rebellious? Even his spirit doesn't allow him to do that, because even his spirit will not be favorable toward a rebellious, contrary person. So then, as God, we stand in his stead, as the Bible said, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Christ. And you, as a king or as a priesthood, the Bible said, making intercession as a royal priesthood, beseeching God in the behalf of those that are without, praying that God will grant repentance to them that are without. This is your job. This is my job. Reading from 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, I want you to notice this in the 42nd verse. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And beloved friend, I really wished I had time to talk to you about that. You'd be literally shocked if you've never entered into the treasures of God concerning his word on the natural and the spiritual body. Are those bodies celestial and terrestrial, or those that differ in glory, as the Bible tells us? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Paul tells us here that there is a mystery. Now, speaking of the mysteries, the Bible said great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. A lot of times we use the terms that the gospel is simple, salvation is simple. There's no need to try to make it complicated. It's just a simple thing and anybody can understand it. I'll agree to that, that there is a simplicity of salvation. All you've got to do is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want you to know, when it comes to growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, it is not a simple thing. It is not just a plain thing. The Bible said great is the mystery of it. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of those mysteries. But him that we have brought into the church by means of infiltration, every ungodly thing, every worldly thing that we can weight the church down with, we find ourselves spiritually ignorant in the sense that we've not gone on and perfected our way in God. The Bible tells us to go on to perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and of dead faith toward God, but let us go on, the Bible said. We should go on to the power of God, to the laying on of hands, and to the resurrection of the dead, and to eternal judgment. And the Bible said, these things we will do if God permit. So then, it is a true fact that if the church had turned away from the world, that they would be living oracles of God tonight. If they had been more interested in the Word of God, and the power of God, and the things of God, as pertaining to the kingdom, then tonight, they would be a great church. They would be a marvelous church. But folks, you know what has happened? The world has mocked, and the world has despised, and the world has spoken against so much, having spoken against the church so much, that the church has got ashamed because it could not produce and because it could not prove its point. And it has turned to the world to compromise with the world, to make the world think that we're not a bunch of ignoramuses, that we can understand as well as they can. So instead of going to God, we started to compete with the world. And instead of trying to get the knowledge of God, we've been trying to get us a PhD. And instead of trying to walk on with Christ and learning the things of God and coming into the power of God, we've got out there and tried to compete with the world to have the kind of automobiles and the kind of houses and to have the securities and the benefits. Until today, we've got one title and God give that to us. And the Bible says that Laodicea is lukewarm. And the Bible said they're wretched and they're miserable. And they confess to be a rich church and they have nothing. And they know not that they are wretched and they're miserable and they are blind. Folks, are you listening to what I'm saying? I said, God said the last church is miserable. You've got to say amen because it's a miserable church. Brother, when you know Christ and you don't go with God, you become a miserable people. And the Bible says it is a wretched church, and it most certainly is wretched. You've never seen such a people in all of your lives. I heard just recently where a minister killed his own son. A minister of the gospel shot his own son down. A miserable church, a wretched church. And not only that, but the Bible said a blind church. Blind, not blind in the sense that we have eyes to see naturally, but blind in the sense that we don't have eyes to see spiritually. And the Bible said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend with all of the saints the depths and the width and the length and the greatness of this wonderful revelation of Christ. But now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. So then, what has happened to us? Why is it that we're in this condition? Because we have left off with the living God. We've not walked with Christ. We've not applied ourselves. Having gone after the things of the world, desiring the things of the world, all of these things do the Gentiles seek after. Seek going after these things. We've not gone after God. Don't you know that if you would have applied yourself to God and God's principles and come under subjection to God the same way that you have to the world, if you would have been as diligent toward God as you have to the prosperity and the things of the world and the educational benefits of the world, don't you know tonight you would be walking giants? You would be spiritual giants. But beloved friend, we failed to do that. We've done just exactly the opposite. That is, we have gone after the world. We have applied ourselves to the things of the world. And tonight, what is it? As the church world, we are blind. We're naked. We're wretched. We're miserable. And Paul said, I say, we to keep from saying you, because that's the condition of many of you. So then, what is the problem? It's that we have left off with following the Word of God. We're not following Christ anymore. We're not going with God anymore. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm going with God. Let me tell you, you couldn't be going with God. How can you go out to the ball games and go with God? Come on, folks. How can you do that? Somebody says there's nothing wrong with the ball games, Brother Pike. Let me tell you a vision I had. I tell this every once in a while. I had a vision. And in this vision, I heard a great noise. Now listen to me. I heard a great noise. And I was walking around in this vision. I heard this great noise. And I said, a revival. Glory to God, I said, there's a revival. And I'm going over to the revival. So I started over to the revival, or what I thought was the revival. I got over a little ways, and I saw the people, and I saw the crowds, and I saw the cheering, and I even heard the praying. And I hurried over. And when I got over there, beloved friend, you know what I saw? I saw a ball game. And they were playing ball, and the people were cheering them on. And the people was praying for their favorite teams. And I heard a voice speak to me. And the voice pointed out this. This is an abomination in my sight. To take the blood of my son and the word of God. And for people to stoop so low that they pray for a ball game. Is ball games of God? Absolutely not. What then are they? Oh, they are of the devil. God didn't start ball games. Folks, let me tell you something. It's all right for ball players to go to ball games. It's all right for the world to go to the ball games. That's the land of Esau. That belongs to them. God has allotted that to them. But when Christians leave off with God and they've got to go to ball games and they've got to sit under the television and watch ball games, they are miserable and they're wretched and they're naked and they're blind. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, I heard this voice speak to me, and I was literally tore up. I was tore up. And I began to walk, and I left that thing. And as I began to walk away from it, I was just tore up. I was walking down the sidewalk immediately after this, and all of a sudden I saw something loom up along the sidewalk. It came up, it was a great big thing, like a big, huge plane, a round encasement. And it was sealed. There was no openings to it. And I was startled by it. And all of a sudden, as I walked, a door opened in the side of it. There wasn't a door, but somehow a door opened in the side of it. And something just reached out, some kind of force, and just said, shoo. And I found myself inside of that thing. And I found myself entombed on the inside, and the doors closed. And I said, my God, what is this? And I was inside of this thing, and I was standing there trying to figure out how to get out of it. Now listen, and I looked, and here come some people. Now, this is the way they were doing. I'm not mocking. This is the way they were doing. I looked, and I saw these people, and they were walking just like this. Just like a zombie. No life, no motion, no nothing, except just straight ahead. Some mothers had little babies. Just lifeless, walking like that. And I was terrified. I said, my God, let me out of here. What is this? God, what is this? And I heard a voice speak and said, this is those people that's at the ball games. And said they're headed into hell, into destruction. And they have no guidance and they have no understanding. That in there walking as zombies straight ahead to destruction. And I cried, my God, get me out of here. God, let me out of here. And when God spoke to my heart, all of a sudden, that door came open again. I stepped outside of that thing, and I saw the sunlight, and I saw life again, and I began to praise God, and God gave me a song. As a matter of fact, Brother Taylor and some of them sing it. And I began to say, praise God for the sunshine, and praise God for the flowers. I write a lot of songs. I'm a songwriter. And I began to praise God, and He gave me a beautiful song that they sang. And I was so thankful. Folks, I'm not saying that to condemn you, because God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him that the world might be saved. God did that, but listen to me. Though God did not send His Son to condemn you, yet the Bible says He sent His Son to condemn sin in the flesh. So if you let sin in the flesh, God has come to condemn sin in the flesh. The Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. But there is a continual warfare between the body and the soul. They that are heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as is the earthy, such are they that are earthly. If you are as the earthy, then you are interested in the earth. And the world loveth its own. And if you go with the world, the world's going to praise you. But if you stand up against the world and you take a testimony against the things of the world is going to forsake you, and the world is going to accuse you, and the world's going to find fault with you. But folks, let me tell you something. It's the midnight cry. It's that hour when God is calling for you. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, if you've got the Holy Spirit, it's time to rise up. Trim those lamps. Come out. Let your light shine. The hour's here for it. Somebody said, I know it's coming someday. I tell you in the name of the Lord, it's here. The hour is here. The watchman is upon the wall, and they're crying out, arise, awake to righteousness, as I preached last night. Light those little lamps. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're going to do it. Brother, when this gospel is preached, you're going to light up your little candle. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And when you hear the gospel, if you've got Christ's spirit, you're going to rise up and you're going to light that little candle. If you don't have Christ's spirit, and if you're of the world, you're going to fight against the truth, and you're going to war against the truth, and you're going to try to justify the things of this world and the things of the flesh, and the devil's going to unite his strength with you, and the forces of the world's going to unite with you, and you're going to cause God problems everywhere you go. But if you belong to God, if you are a saint of God, then it's time to rise up, folks. It's time to get the smut off the globe. It's time to light your little candle. It's time to find out whether or not you've got the Holy Ghost. Many of you people don't have the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Many of you have an experience. Many of you have felt the rain on the unjust, just like it comes down on the just. But I want you to know tonight that you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost. You've never had the infilling of Christ's Spirit. And the Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I want you to know that I am a believer. I'm a believer too. But the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes, and the devils that believe tremble when they think about it. But the Bible teaches that if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. I want to tell you this again, that just mere believing is not faith. How do you understand what I'm saying? Just mere believing is not faith. You can believe all you want to, but that's not faith. If believing is faith, then the devil has salvation. Because the Bible teaches that the devil believes. Just believing is not faith. Then what is faith? The Bible said, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. Not from believing. But they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you know there's some doctrines of devils in the world? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and they're past feeling, and they marry and remarry, and they're mixed up in adultery. Jesus said, a sinful and adulterous generation. They can't satisfy their passions. They're all mixed up. They're mixed up in human passions, human desire, gullible desire for social benefits, and finding prestige and wanting to be something in the world. Brother, you don't have to do that. God raised up Daniel and put him over the wise men. God picked up the Hebrew children. The Bible said promotion comes from God. God said to David, I've given thee a name like unto the great men of the earth. It was God that raised up Esther. It's God that always done those things down through the past years. It was God that made David a king and made Solomon a king. Jesus sought no reputation, but He sought the will of the Father. And today He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings because of it. So then you don't have to seek that. You don't have to seek wealth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things God will add unto you. The blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and addeth no sorrow. I said the other night, he'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. His blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. Whatever you do will prosper. The Bible said he'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. So then, where is the problem? We've left off with God. We've become lukewarm. We're religious, yes. But salvation, no. We believe, yes. But faith, no. But what is faith, as I said? What is faith? Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. When you believe the Word of God, then you believe under faith. When you believe the Word of God, then you have faith. There is no believing that is faith outside of the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. When you believe the Word of God, then do you have faith, and then do you have salvation. You can be in your church. You can be in your social group. You can believe what you want to. You can have a religious background, but that don't help you at all. You can believe you're going to heaven when you're going to hell. You can believe that you're going to live and be happy when you're dying with cancer. You can believe you're healed when you're dying, when you're not healed. But, beloved friend, you can't believe the Word of God without receiving the benefits. It's utterly impossible to believe the Word of God with sincere faith and conviction without receiving the benefits of it. There is no way. No one has ever done it but what they receive the benefits. So in the last days, people will depart from the faith of the believing in the Word to believe what they hear, to believe what they think, to believe what the doctrines of devils are teaching them, are those things that's being talked to their minds, of those spirits that's communicating with them through thought. And they'll depart from the Word of God. But let me encourage you tonight, get back to the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says. And listen to me, friend. If you don't hurry, there ain't going to be no Word of God for you to get back to. The Bible said, because you have not a love for the truth, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I'll send you a strong delusion, and I'll cause you to believe a lie. And be damned, God said, I'll do it. I tell you the truth. I try to explain the truth to you. I want you to know the truth. And said, if you don't have a love for this truth when you hear it, I'll send you strong delusions, and I'll let you believe what you want to. I'll let you believe in social benefits, and I'll let you believe in ball games, and I'll let you believe in any kind of doctrine or any kind of preacher or anything else. As long as it tickles your ear and soothes your ear, I'll cause you to believe it. I'll send you strong delusions, and I'll cause you to believe a lie and let you be damned, he said. Because you didn't believe the truth when I told you the truth. What is truth, Pilate said? God's word is truth, folks. So then get back to the Word of God. And if you don't hurry, there ain't going to be no Word of God for you to get back to. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about revised versions. I don't mean this wrong, because in some of the revised versions you'll find some good things. But in general, the revised versions is of the devil. And it's destroying the Word of God. And it's destroying the knowledge of God. And it's doing away with everything that's holy and godly and right. And God is turning you over to a reprobate mind through those revised versions. Those versions that's been revised. He's turning you over to a reprobate mind because the pen of the intellectual powers is penning that thing and interpreting that thing from the natural to suit your benefits and to suit your way of life, and you're just eating it up. Because you say, I don't understand God's word. Therefore, somebody says, I'll take care of that. What is it that you don't understand? Well, the Bible said to be therefore holy, even as thy Father is holy, and be perfect in body and in spirit. And the devil says, I'll take care of that for you. I've got a revised version. Now, it is impossible for anybody to be perfect, he'll say. God was just speaking of himself. Be calm and collected, beloved. Don't worry. And the first thing you understand is that you've reasoned it out with your human intelligence. In one of the revised versions, it does away with the fact that Mary was a virgin. It does away with the virgin birth of Christ. You know, the devil would love to do away with that. If the devil can do away with that, then that means Jesus was no more than anybody else. He was born to the same bloodstream that Adam gave in the beginning. And he's under sin just like anybody else, and his blood couldn't atone for nothing. If that be the case. If they can establish something like that, It means that he was born to the male blood. And the very thing that God brought a virgin for was to keep him from being born to the male blood. Because sin was in the bloodstream. Sin was with Adam. And God cut off that bloodstream at Calvary and brought a virgin birth and a divine conception by the Holy Spirit, that he could end what he calls the red dragon. And this is where I said I'd love to enter into the treasures. I'd love to go into the treasures of the bloodstream. I'd love to go into the treasures of God's word. Because I know when I say this, some of you won't understand what I'm saying. But at Calvary, God done away with the red dragon. And what was the red dragon? It was the bloodstream of Adam. Somebody say, oh, no, you're crazy, Brother Pike. No, I'm not crazy. I'm not beside myself. I know exactly what I'm saying. Lucifer is an angel. He is a spirit. He is a fallen angel. And Lucifer got into the bloodstream of mankind. And he set up his kingdom in the heart of mankind. And everybody that's born to the blood, everybody that's born to the flesh is flesh. And Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And the blood of humanity has to be spilled. Beloved friend, that's why that all through the Old Testament, God kept the Jews under the blood. That's why God kept spilling the blood. I said to God one time before I understood him, I said, God, I don't understand you. I love you, but I don't understand you. I read about blood, blood. Everywhere I read, there's nothing but blood. I said, can you be such a bloody God? Why do you demand blood? And then the Lord said, the life is in the blood. And the life has been taken into captivity. And by the perversion of the beast and the image of the beast through the first birth of that which is earthy, Satan has infiltrated the flesh. And the Bible said, within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Paul said this when he received the revelation of Christ. So he said, the blood had to be spilled, my son. The blood had to be spilled. And said, I came in a human form and I came in the image of the beast. I came in the image of mankind, the depraved side of life. Came in that image. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to try to get into it because this is going to stir up your thoughts, I know, and make you wonder what I'm talking about. But he said, do you remember when I told him, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days? And they being earthly minded, they did not understand that I spake of my body until after the resurrection. I said, I remember. He said, what did I do with it? I said, well, the Bible said the temple was rent in twain. And he said, what temple? I said, well, your body. The Bible said, we're the temples of the Holy Ghost. I said, it couldn't be nothing but your body. He said, it was my body. My body was rent in twain. My body was rent in two. I said, what do you mean? He said, isn't it written in the scriptures? And you find this in the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible said he made in himself twain. And he said, the temple was rent in twain. The temple was rent in two. I separated the one from the other. The Lord from the Christ. And I won't try to go into that tonight. I wish I had time to go into it. And I said, my God, Lord, you divided the temple, you rent it in twain. And God began to tell me what he was talking about. He said, and this had to be done to spill the blood. And he said, I beheld Lucifer's lightning fall from heaven. I defeated him. Said it's recorded in Revelation 12. Said he was cast out of heaven. He said, son, this happened at Calvary. I defeated the red dragon. I defeated the blood life. Listen to me, folks. Oh, I wish we had time to preach tonight. Revelation 12. John looked in heaven. Now listen. And John saw a great thing in heaven. Maybe I can clarify a few of these things tomorrow night because I know you're going to get a little bit antler right here, some of you. But John saw a great thing in heaven. What did he see? He saw a woman with her feet on the moon. Oh, what we could say about that tonight. He saw a woman with her feet on the moon. She was in great travail. She was trying to bring forth a child. And the Bible said just as quick as her child was born, God caught it up to the throne. Now listen, why did he catch it up to the throne? What was the throne? It had to be the third heaven. Paul said such a one caught up into the third heaven. The one that received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, if I had time to preach to you tonight, my, how, what you would think at the end of this message concerning the church. But there he was caught up into the third heaven, Paul. saw things that wasn't permitted to speak. Here John sees somebody in heaven. What heaven was it? It was the second heaven. Well, you don't know that, Brother Pike. Yeah, I know it. I just don't have time to elaborate on it. He saw this woman in the second heaven. And where did he see the red dragon? This is the thing that's amazing. He saw the red dragon in heaven. He saw the devil in heaven. Do you believe the devil's in heaven? He saw this great wonder in heaven. He said, well, I don't believe he was in heaven. Well, how then could he have been cast out of heaven? The Bible said he was cast out of heaven. Isn't that right? He had to be in heaven. John said he saw this wonder in heaven. And he saw this woman and he saw the red dragon. Isn't that right? He said, and I saw this dragon laying there waiting for that man child to be born. Said that dragon was laying there. Listen now. John raised that axe to that generation that come from Adam, all the way down to Calvary where the bloodstream was cut off. And John said, I laid the axe to the root of the tree. And he cut down the entire generation all the way back to Adam. Because it was born in sin, it was born under the law. And only those that was preserved by the foreknowledge of God made it over that great gulf at Calvary. Got over the Jordan, over the intellectual reasoning. And there the woman was in heaven. And the child being born, notice now, just as quick as that child was born, the Bible said it was caught up to heaven. How could it be caught up to heaven? It's already in heaven. But it went up to the third heaven. It went up to the throne of God. It went up to the place where Paul went. It went to that place where there is no sin. It went to that place where the red dragon had never got to. Satan between heaven and earth, the war, Daniel's day. Think over it, you Bible scholars. So then, out went the red dragon. What was that red dragon? It was the bloodline. How did the red dragon get into heaven? By the blood being on the seat of atonement. As long as the blood of a human being, even Jesus Christ, is on the seat of atonement, that means that the red dragon is in heaven. That means that the people that are not born again and they that are not the elect of God, they that don't belong to God, they are the red dragon. John said, you generation of vipers. You generation of vipers. They are the red dragon. They are the body of Lucifer. And when the sons of God come to present themselves to God, even in the church, the body of Satan comes also, because Lucifer dwells inside of them. And the Bible calls them the gates of hell and calls us the gates of heaven. And so then, the Bible said there was war in heaven, and Michael fought and his angels fought. Lucifer fought and his angels fought. But there was found no place in heaven for them anymore. And the Bible said that old devil, that old dragon, Satan, Lucifer, was cast out and his angels was cast out with him. And it was symbolized in a type by stars that was falling from heaven. What was it? Listen now. The red dragon. He was in heaven. Folks, where is the second heaven? Where is the second heaven? It's right here under this tent tonight. It's right out there in the world today. It's all around you. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that this is heaven? I mean to tell you that this is heaven, and I've said this a lot of times, not to make a joke. If you don't think this is heaven, you wait till you get to hell and you can tell the difference. You wait till you get to hell and you can tell the difference between hell and heaven. If you don't think this is heaven, I want you to know that Revelation positively shows that this is heaven, that you're under the grace of God, and you can run to the dentist and stop the pain in the tooth, and you can run to the doctor and stop the pain, and you eat and drink, and you are merry, and you sleep, and you rest, and you do what you want till you have your own sovereignty. And the devil is right in there with you everywhere you go, because the rain is on the unjust, and as long as Calvary stands for grace, and the blood is on the seat of atonement for the days of the Gentiles, then that means the devil can live in human bodies and he don't have to wander through the dry places seeking rest. He lives inside of human bodies. The Bible said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wanders through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. It comes back to the same body that it was driven out of. And the Bible said it finds that body sanctified and clean and holy. And when it comes back, it overpowers that being unless that being has been filled with the Holy Ghost. if the Holy Ghost is not in that temple after sanctification, then that spirit of Satan, along with seven other spirits more wicked than itself, it forces its way into that body, and the last condition of that man is worse than the first, and like Legion, he is full of devils. Are you listening? That's why some of you can't have rest. You're literally full of devils. You don't have one devil, and you don't have two devils. You have many devils, and you're literally tormented. It's either a devil of lust, it's a devil of gullibleness, it's a devil of temper, it's a devil of gossip. It's a devil of criticism. It's a devil of fault finding. It's a devil of covetousness. Many devils have gone out into the world. Some of you even have doctrines of devils. You're indoctrinated by them. Are you listening? I'm going to close in a few minutes. Hold on. I know it's hot. But I'm telling you, this is heaven. God will cool it off here. But when you get in hell, it's going to be hot, and he ain't going to cool it off. Won't be no fans down there. Won't be no air conditioning down there. Are you listening? So then, Lucifer was seen where? In heaven. What is heaven? Grace. Lucifer, living in a human body because God has given a human being a certain time of grace. The devil has that allotted period of grace by living in that human body. And he don't have to wander through the dry places as long as he's in there. You remember when Jesus went into the land of Gadara and he went to cast the devil out of Legion? I remember that. When Jesus went over there, what did Legion do? The devils run up to Jesus in that body, and he cried out, "Oh, thou Son of God, said, have you come to torment us before our time?" Listen now. Have you come to torment us before our time? What do you mean before your time? Because the days of grace isn't over yet. The end of the Gentiles' age is not here yet. Are you going to torment us before our time? Oh, they said, look, if you're going to drive us out of this body, don't put us back in those dry places. There's a herd of swine over here. Let us go into those swines. As Satan got into the beast in the garden. Let us go in there. If you're going to cast us out of one, let us go into another. And Jesus gave him leave. And the whole herd run violently down the steep place into the ocean and perish before they'd have devils. You understand what I'm saying? Had more understanding than human beings. Before they'd have devils, they committed suicide. Are you listening? So then, what was it? Lucifer was cast out. What was he cast out? Let's look at it for just a minute. As long as there's grace, he lives in human bodies. As long as those human bodies have life, and they can have it as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, as long as those human bodies have the favor of God, Lucifer is at peace because he can live in that human body and cause you to frolic and do the things of the world. That's why he wrestles with your mind. That's why he wars against the church. Because he knows the saints of God is going to come to the knowledge of God and come to the understanding of God. And they're going to rise up and take the kingdoms of this world to make the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our God. Revelation 11:15 says that the sounding of that last trumpet, there was a voice that said, "Behold, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And Satan knows that that's going to happen. When? When the blood comes off the seat of atonement. How long is this heaven? Just as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement. But brother, at the days of the Gentiles, when it ends, Revelation 8, when the 30 minutes of silence came in heaven, when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, what's going to happen? Lucifer won't be in heaven anymore. Just as quick as that blood comes off of the mercy seat, it will mean that human life or blood life can never be in the presence of God anymore. Now listen to this. I know you might not agree with it, but it's true. Do you realize that God has never seen his creation but one time? In all of the creation of God's work and all of the thousands of years that's gone by, he's never beheld his creation but one time. Do you know where that was? That was in Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. Do you know that since they fell into sin that God has never again looked upon humanity? And do you know that if he did see humanity one time, he would literally wipe it from over the face of the earth? Somebody would say, "Brother Pike, where do you get that?" Because the Bible teaches that the blood went on the mercy seat and that God could not look upon iniquity. And that God has only seen the church and humanity through the blood of Jesus, seeing them as being holy, seeing them as being spotless. But beloved friend, Revelation 8, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, God's going to take one look at them, which will be the second look, and he's going to wipe them from the face of the earth. And the Bible said the mountains will flee away, and the oceans shall flee away, the seas, that is, shall flee away. And all of humanity shall literally perish in the presence of God. And only those that are washed in the blood, only those that are in the image of God shall come through. And all of the rest of you shall be the bastard child and be formed in the image of corruption. And that morning, that dawning, that day, I will hate your image in the morning. I will despise your perverted image in the morning because you're born out of wedlock and because you're not a child of God. Are you listening? So then the blood comes off the seat of atonement. What happens when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement? Lucifer is not in the grace of God anymore. It's God giving Judas the sop. And he'll go out into the intellectual darkness. He'll never have the mind of God again. You know, the Bible says, and this light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That is, this knowledge, this revelation, this great understanding of God, it shined among the people and in the midst of their intellectual reasoning, but they could not comprehend the depths and heights and glory because their eyes have never been enlightened. This light shined in the darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend it. And the Bible said, you're not children of that darkness, but you're children of the mind of Christ, the understanding of God. And you're not children of darkness. Ye shall know when that day is nigh even at the door. Listen, and I am going to close. So then, Lucifer is cast out. How is he cast out? Just as soon as the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. He's not in heaven anymore, for this area won't be heaven anymore. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. But the woman is still protected, and she goes into a place for time and a half of times, even a place of rest. And the presence of God is still with her. And the saints of God are caught up, for they are caught up to God, to his throne, and they're still in the presence of God. They don't lose that because they're not under the grace of God. They're not under the Shekinah like Adam and Eve was when they lost out with God. But we are born to the Shekinah, and the Shekinah is on the inside of us. We can't get off Monday. We are born of it. We're his glorified image, bone of his bone. And flesh of his flesh, that is born of spirit of spirit, of that which is spirit, such are they that are spiritual. So then, what am I saying? Listen, the red dragon was cast out. Who was the red dragon? The generation of vipers. Who was that? Those that was under the grace of God that had never been born again. Even the beast, some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. Even the image of the beast. But what was the red dragon doing? Listen, he was laying there, ready to devour the man-child. That's where he's at today. While the blood is on the seat of atonement, the red dragon, the generation of vipers, the intellectual powers of darkness, the educational system of the world, those of perversion, they're laying there with their intellectual ability. And they're trying to deceive the church. Every time the woman travails to bring forth a member of the body of Christ, they say, come on and let's put him on the ball team. Are you listening? You'll make a good ball player. We need to train you. We need to make a celebrity out of you. We need to put you up here somewhere to where we can praise your flesh and to where people will lift our church up and think we're really something in the societies of the world. And the old red dragon, the old intellectual powers of the devil, that old blood life is trying to get that child indoctrinated with that intellectual power to put him out there in the world ready to devour that child. Just as soon as that child is born, that old red dragon, Lucifer, working in the bloodstream, that fallen angel, Lucifer, working in the blood life, is trying to get a hold of every spiritual born child there is and convert them to an intellectual trait of life and to bring them up in the intellectual way of life, trying to devour that man child. To keep that man-child from coming into the mind of God, knowing that he's going to rule with a rod of iron and overthrow the kingdom of the world. Satan that savors the things that be of the flesh. Folks, listen. It's the midnight cry. The blood is about to come off the seat of atonement. If you've got the Spirit of God within you, if you've got all within your vessels, you've gone to sleep. The Bible said all of you have gone to sleep at the midnight cry. The Methodist is asleep. The Baptist is asleep. The Pentecostals are asleep. Everybody is asleep. All of them were asleep. The Catholics are asleep. But in those walks of life, there are people in every one of them. Some of them that's been filled with the Holy Ghost, I know them personally. Some of them. And they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And though they don't understand the fullness of the gospel, yet they went to sleep because they got into the intellectual darkness of human reasoning. They got into that and they went to sleep. But some of them that got into that, they're not just believers. They're filled with the Spirit of God. And they got confused and they didn't know, like little children, they didn't understand. And they got in there and everybody said, this is the way you do it. And every time one of them would try to raise up, somebody slap him down and say, you can't do it. This is the way our church does it. You'll disgrace our church. And they put him under an intellectual constraint, a constraint and bondage. But brother, it's time to wake up. It's time to shake yourself. It's time to come out of that intellectual bondage. And it's time to realize that you're a son of God. And if you've got that all, it's time to get the smut off of your globe and light your little candle and shine for God and say, look here, I'm not going with your systems anymore. I'm going with God. If your system don't fit the Word of God, I'm going to reject your system. If you can prove your system by the Word of God and you lay it down there, line upon line and precept upon precept, you've got yourself a subject. But brother, if you can't prove the Word of God, then I'm leaving your organization. I'm leaving you behind. If you're my pastor, if you can prove the Word of God, I'll stay with you and I'll follow you. But if you can't prove the Word of God, good day, sir, I'm gone. Come out from among her. Be a separate people. She's become the cage of every unclean and hateful spirit. A bird. Whoa, into Babylon. Babylon is fallen. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. She's fallen. You understand what I'm saying? A world of confusion. Nobody knows who's right anymore. In the government, in religion, or whatever. But I want to tell you something, folks. The Word of God is proven. This has been proven down through the years. It's still standing. The wonderful, unfailing, unaltered Word of God. His Word is settled in heaven. He won't change it for me or anybody else. He'll hasten to perform it. Accomplish that which He pleases with it. Do you love the Lord? A lot of things I'd like to say tonight. But this, I'm just trying to make a point here. And that is the days of the Gentiles are coming to a close. And the midnight cries upon you. And the tribulation is upon you. And believe me or don't believe me. But this tent is set here in Alabama because Alabama runs a certain place in types in the mind of God. This tent has to do with a certain thing. So does our ministry and you and these people that are here. And I just wish we had time to go into that to prove it. But in the mind of God, everything is clearly seen. I said this the other night. I know that you can't get a hold of this and you'll think, I'm vainly puffed up by my fleshly mind. And that's all right. Just believe the Word of God. If I'm standing with the Word of God, believe the Word of God. Though you might not believe anything else I say. I'll try not to say anything but the Word of God. But if you perceive there's something that's just what I'm speaking of, that you can't place in the Word of God, leave it alone. My beloved friend, I've been privileged to see the world and all that's in the world and what God is going to do with it and what He created it for. And I've been privileged to see the great leaders of Russia and America and the great men like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and the great ministers of the earth. I've been able to see even the individual people that work around my own operation. And I have seen clearly what God's doing with them. And He showed me their place and He showed me what they would do. And He showed me when they would fall and what would happen to them and what He had put them in the world for. And brothers and sisters, through the years we've spoke of it and it has come right down to the line. Year after year it has failed right to the line. Even this meeting that we're having right here in Alabama, it has to do with a great thing. And that is concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the casting out of the red dragon. It has to do with the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And I'm not just running as one that beateth the air. And I'm not just saying a lot of things to hold your attention. I'm telling you this is absolutely the truth. You say, I don't believe it. Give it enough time. And you'll see, I've said this a lot of times. Give it enough time. I've told people down through the years, if you don't believe it, give it enough time. And then you'll be able to come back and say you're a false prophet. Or you can come back and say that it's right. It might be too late for you, but you can say it's right. So then give it a little time and you'll find out I'm telling you the truth. I want you to stand with me tonight. I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate your attention. But I want you to think this over. I want you to go to the Bible. I want you to read it. Folks, don't be naturally minded. Don't think naturally. To be natural minded, to be carnally minded is enmity with God. Start being spiritual. Get the spirit of revelation. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, since I'm your overseer. You think it over now. You think about whether it's natural or whether it's spiritual. Is this word natural or is this word spiritual? Did Jesus not say my words are spirit and they are life? When Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, what did they do? They left him. Can you imagine the Son of God, God clothed in a human garment, tabernacling in a human body, that if God should walk up here tonight and God would say to me, drink my blood, eat my flesh, I would say, my God, unless I was spiritual, I would say, my God, what are you talking about? I'm not a cannibal. What are you speaking of? But see, the Bible did not know, or said they did not know, that his words were spirit. So he said, lest you drink my blood, lest you eat my flesh. Oh, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear anything like that? We can't eat that man's flesh. We can't drink that man's blood. But yet he said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He said, take and drink at the last supper. This is my blood. He said, lest you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you don't have any life in you. Can you think on that now? Can you picture Paul, just for a moment, to open your minds? Can you picture Paul speaking of a woman as being a city? He said, and this woman, Hagar, answereth to old Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children, that is to Mount Sinai. But he said, now Sarah, she answers to heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Can you get a hold of that? A man talking about two women, and one of them is New Jerusalem, and one of them is Old Jerusalem, in the symbolic sense. Can you see that? Paul said, I'd like for you to be spiritual. Jesus wanted them to be spiritual. Folks, the things that I say unto you tonight are spiritual. Think on it. Don't condemn it. Don't throw it away. Don't make a joke out of it. Don't think that Brother Pike don't know what he's speaking of. Lay it aside. If you can't get a hold of it, don't say nothing about it. Go home. Study your Bible. Read. Pray. Think it over. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. And after a while, look to see what you come up with. If this isn't the explanation of it, the Bible said it's of no private interpretation, but it must be understood and interpreted and revealed by the Holy Spirit or to holy men that are in the holy walk of God, even as it was given to them. So must it be revealed and interpreted, because you can't privately interpret it to write any kind of revised version or whatever. So then you take it home with it. You read it. You think over it. And you say, now, wait a minute. If this isn't the interpretation, then what is the interpretation? And you spend the next few years trying to find out the interpretation. And several years from now, when you can't find it out, you come back and say, Brother Pike, whether right or wrong, I don't know, but I've never found anything else, because there is nothing else. But you go try anyway. You love the Lord? While we're standing tonight, I want you to just lift your hands up with me for a few minutes. Will you do that? Folks, the church is fixing to get together. They're fixing to get together. Watch and see. This year they're going to start coming together. The church is going to quit playing games. You know why? Because sorrow and heartache, such as they have never known, is fixing to be poured out upon them. Not because God has appointed you under wrath. He hath appointed you unto salvation. Let's lift our hands up and love the Lord. Can you do that? Let's just reverence the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said if you speak in tongues, pray that you might interpret. This is an order. We have this to happen in a lot of services, whether home or abroad. When I first started speaking in tongues, I was stirred because I was moved by the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And I went before God and I wept until God made me to interpret. And on numerous occasions, you may find me speaking in tongues or prophesying if the anointing starts moving and interpreting. But when something comes forth as this tonight, and this inspiration, when you're speaking by inspiration, when this comes forth, it's God trying to tell us something. And if we're willing to work with God and we're willing to believe, He can quicken things to us for the confirmation of your faith. For the gifts are in the church. There are people that have gifts in the church. They may not utilize that ability because they're not walking virtuously with God. But if they were walking virtuously with God and withdraw from the world, they'd be under great inspiration and the gifts would work. For the gifts are in the body of Jesus Christ. They're in the church. And this year, the church is going to come together. The great oppression is going to begin to fall upon them. Sorrow and heartaches. And they're going to begin to push in closer and closer. Why will it fall upon them, Brother Pike? Not because God has appointed you under wrath, but because to him that is given much, to him it is required much. To that servant that knows to do his Lord's will and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He shall be beaten with many stripes. And we're coming to the knowledge of God now. See, and we're coming to what's called willful sin. And we've got to move in. God's going to start moving us in just like sheep, just like Roundup time. See what the blood tag is. Because that hour is here. Now then, while the Spirit of God is moving, and I can feel it moving tonight, I want us to sing a little chorus together and take a few minutes to worship God. I know it's hot, but He took some moments of suffering for you at Calvary. Just bear with Him a few minutes. You know, if you take 5 minutes away from God, He may take 5 years off of your life. But if you do like Hezekiah, and you give Him just a few minutes, He may be merciful and add 15 years to your life. Did you know there's people in the grave tonight that lived a premature life because they didn't have time to stay with God, and they didn't have time to take time to be holy. They didn't have time to stay while the preacher was preaching. They didn't have time to go out and listen to the Word of God. So they died an early death. They're in the grave tonight. There are others that are still living tonight because they had time. They took a little time. They took a little longer. And when others died, they continued to live. They continued to live because they took a little time for God. You love the Lord tonight? I want you to sing this chorus with me. Let's take a few minutes for Christ. The Bible said, take time to be holy. You'll never find time. Pharaoh's got too many bricks to make. But take time. Let's sing this chorus again tonight. Come into my heart. If you've never received Christ into your heart, then let's receive Him into our heart tonight. Can you do that? Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it with me, folks. Come on, sing it with me now. Oh, come in to my heart. Sing it now. Come in to my heart.
And 135.
Oh, come in to my heart.
Move quickly, please.
Lord Jesus.
148 through 171.
Just come in.
134 and 135.
And come in.
148 through 171. Step right up here to the usher.
Come in.
Let them have your card.
My heart, Lord.
As they give me your card, please come up on the round.
Jesus. Don't you love Him tonight? I feel God here tonight. I felt God last night. I felt faith last night. And I felt God healing last night. And I feel God here tonight. Don't you feel God? If you feel God, lift up your hands tonight. Hallelujah. Let's love God tonight. Let's worship God tonight. While we're singing this next little verse, I want you to step out and come to the altar tonight. Will you do that? While I sing this little verse, I want you to sing it with me. We sing it, sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me tonight. Oh, sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my... Come on, folks. Come on.
Come on, every night, come on.
While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing it with me again now. Sing it like this. For we have anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Although the tempest, it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it one more time with me, will you? Oh, I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Can you lift your hands up with me? Can you lift your hands up with me? Though the tempest, it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I feel God here tonight. I felt faith last night, and I felt God healing last night. And I feel God healing again tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch my sister tonight. Whatever this affliction is, whatever this problem is, I want you to heal her. Hallelujah. I feel you doing something for her right now. I feel her faith being lifted up in thee. Oh, Holy Spirit, mighty Holy Spirit, heal tonight. Make well tonight. And break that yoke in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. God, touch this little one in the lovely name of Jesus. What's wrong with you, sir? What's wrong? What's your condition? Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal this body. Move this hernia tonight. Dear God, I feel you doing it. I feel your faith in God. I feel it moving it right now. How many feel the Spirit of God? If you feel it, lift up your hand. I feel faith. Yes. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel God here. Hallelujah. What's your problem? Arthritis.
You're writing John in my bag.
Hey. Do you really love the Lord? Do you really believe in healing? Don't you lift your hands up on your altar, please? Father, I ask you the forgiveness of my sins. I ask you the forgiveness of my sister's sins. And by the righteousness of your lovely Son, Jesus, by the finished works of Calvary, we have a right to believe, fathers. I want you to heal the sister. I feel you doing it right now. Lift up your hands and love the Lord. I feel God doing it right now. How many felt God do something? Then let me see your hand. I feel this thing tonight. I feel God doing something. There's real, genuine faith here tonight, like it was last night. I believe some of you people are believing out there in the audience. I can tell when you're believing. I believe I've got some people here that's believing with me tonight, because I can tell that something is taking place, and I can feel God healing tonight. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this little sister. In the name of the Lord, may she be healed tonight. May her faith go up to God tonight. May the great, wonderful power of God be upon her by your righteousness, Jesus. Grant it. Hallelujah. Grant it in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to touch my sister. Forgive her sins tonight. Father, and by the righteousness of the Son of God, I ask you to heal her tonight. Grant it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. I can feel God moving tonight. I can feel God moving. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Lift up your hands. Father, God of heaven, while I feel this anointing tonight, I want you to touch the sister. Grant it. May your spirit heal tonight. By your righteousness, Jesus. By your righteousness tonight. By the righteousness of the Son of God. And the faith of the Son of God. Heal this body. Father, this tired, weary body. Give it strength. Heal it. Grant it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You ministers, come up here and play with me. I want you to pray with me tonight, saints. Pray with me. Lift your hands up and pray with me. I want the ministers to pray with me tonight. Will you? Come over here, y'all. Come and pray with me, brethren. If the world from you withhold, let's lay our hands on you tonight and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, through the power of God and through the faith of these ministering brethren, God, according to your word tonight, and according to faith in Jesus' name, and these ministers as they pray with me tonight, I want you to heal these people by your righteousness, Jesus. Somebody lift up your hands and praise the Lord tonight. Watch your sister. Lift up your hands and praise God tonight. Come on, folks, let's praise God tonight. The Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice. Let's rejoice with them that rejoice tonight. Be of like mind tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's love Him tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray sincerely because I'm concerned about your health. That thing is deadly. God will have to do something for it. God's going to do something for it. You believe with me, and I'll give you my word of honor before Christ that He'll move it. You believe it? Let's pray. Father!
Yes, Lord!
Hallelujah! Lift up your hands and love the Lord. Lift up your hands and love the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah!
God, you command this thing to be gone. This tumor to be gone, Father. Healing and deliverance. Write it in the name of Jesus. I believe He done it. I really believe from my heart He did it. Let's love Him tonight. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Pardon me, brother. Let's love the Lord tonight. Let's love the Lord tonight. I feel God in this place. Hallelujah.
There is power.
Tell David he's got some covering for those legs. Tell him. Let's love the Lord tonight. Can you love the Lord? Let's praise God tonight. Let's sing it with Him. Can you sing it? Sing it with Him tonight. Hallelujah. Love the Lord tonight. Hallelujah.
Power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you worry?
Hallelujah.
Victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
In the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal my brother. I want you to deliver my brother. I want you to forgive my brother's sins. By your righteousness, Jesus. By the righteousness of the Son of God, bless this ministry. Make it a great and a mighty ministry, Father. Dear God, let people stand up and take notice when He preaches the gospel, when He prays for the sick. And let the might of God be upon him.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise God tonight. Hallelujah! Help him right on, buddy. Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Father! In the name of Jesus, bless this sister tonight. Let thy spirit be upon her. By your righteousness, by your righteousness, by your righteousness, grant it, oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, may thy spirit be upon her tonight. Father, to heal and forgive. Oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight, hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to heal. Break this yoke, move this bondage tonight. And let the Spirit of God move. Pray in Jesus in your name tonight. Father, I ask you to heal this little one tonight. In the wonderful name of the Son of God. May her spirit be here tonight, God. May you touch this mother. Forgive her sins tonight. Break the yoke, Jesus. By your righteousness, by your spirit. Move tonight. Anoint this body. I feel you anointing it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God. Are you believing God tonight? I feel God here. I feel the presence of God tonight.
Send down the rain, Lord. Send down
the rain. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Grant my sister's request. Grant my sister's request. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody lift their hands and love the Lord tonight. Father, touch this little one tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch Tom tonight. May your spirit be upon him tonight. And may the blessings of God be here. And the yoke be broken by your righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel the Lord tonight. I feel God tonight. Lift up your hands and love the Lord. Can you? Lift up your hands and love the Lord. I feel God tonight. Hallelujah. I believe God is. Father, in the name of Jesus.
We need the rain.
Father,
we need the light of rain. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain.
I feel him doing it right now.
Send down the light of rain.
Can you feel that? Can you feel his spirit tonight? Let's praise the Lord. Father, by your righteousness tonight. Somebody lift up your hands and love the Lord.
We need the Father,
in the name of Jesus tonight, heal this body. Make this body well tonight. Make it well in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you love the Lord tonight? I feel God moving. If you lift up your hand tonight, we'll pray with you. And I believe God will heal you. While these ministers pray with us tonight, if you lift up your hand tonight, I'll pray with you. And they'll pray with you, and I believe God will heal you. Whatever your problem is, I believe God will heal you. If you want deliverance, God will give it to you tonight. Come on, folks. Lift your hands up tonight. Come on, folks. Lift your hands up tonight. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these people tonight. I ask you in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Father, heal these people tonight. Break the yoke tonight. Take away the bondage, whatever the disease is. With my brethren tonight, in the name of Jesus, by the righteousness of Christ, we take authority over the devils and the demons, the powers and the diseases, and command them to leave the people tonight. And we speak deliverance and healing.
Hallelujah.
We ask you to bless these people tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight. Lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
Brother Park, I got to have something for my ministry, brother. And I see what
glory
I need tonight.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
And I need to tap into those treasures.
Hallelujah.
That you was talking about. That's what I need tonight.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and pray with our buddy Williams tonight. Hallelujah. This brother's a wonderful brother. He loved the Lord. He's got a great ministry. Let's lift our hands up. He says he wants to enter into those treasures tonight. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to enter into those treasures tonight?
Hallelujah.
Let's pray with Buddy tonight. Come on, Dan. Y'all pray with him. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to touch Buddy. Grant it. Grant it, Father. Grant it tonight. by the righteousness of the Son of God.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Open up the spine. Open up the spirit.
Glory, glory.
Give this brother that anointing tonight. That special moving of the spirit. Dear God, that special understanding, that spirit of revelation. Bring it tonight, Father. Touch Buddy in a great way. Make his ministry to be outstanding. Dear God, anoint this brother. Hallelujah. With the power of God and with the moving of the spirit. As he goes forth, dear God, let his words be with power. Let his ministry be strong and powerful, Father. Let deliverance come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord tonight. Can't you lift your hands up and praise God tonight? Come on, let's give God a hand. Can you give God a hand? Come on, let's give God a hand tonight. Let's praise God. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord tonight. The Bible said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come on, folks. Let's praise Him tonight.